When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and WarChant TV. Great to be with you. Hope you're well. Big night tonight, boys. Before we get started, we've got to always remind our listeners and viewers, if you're watching on WarChant TV, like and subscribe, of course. Great to have you on board. Good to see you, Steven. Like and spike, as he says. Good afternoon. And Register Sausage is delicious. There's no reason that you haven't ordered it yet. Or if you're in Tallahassee, hell, just swing on by the Publix. There's mountains of it.
Did you see the Tally Mac Shack guy tweeted a photo at us the other day?
Did he?
Of some concoction they've come up with. With the registers.
Your mic's not even on. Matthew, we gotta get Corey's mic on here. I understand he can be a fan.
Guys, there I mean, you can't deprive the listeners of what I just said. It was probably the best thing I've ever said on the show.
Damn it, man.
But, so it's got the register sausage, the jalapeno cheddar, with just a mound of other stuff. Like mac and cheese. I mean, they're
mounds of mounds are great.
mounds of anything, yeah.
Really, mounds are awesome.
The jalapeno cheddar is enough on itself.
Yeah, you don't need a mound of that.
Throw in some mounds of other stuff.
But just another good partner for Register Sausage who wants to partner with all local restaurants in town.
That's right.
Register's Ben the Sausage Guy is a good guy and has done. I mean, he had the Register's. He had the sausage during COVID. I forgot what he called it, but he did outreach. He provided free sausage to local businesses to help them during the quarantine. And but anyway, he's in Ben's and Noel. It's a great Florida company, and you can order it online at registermeats.com or go to, as you said, all the grocery stores in the Northeast Florida, over to Jacksonville, Northwest Florida over to Jacksonville, down into, I think they're getting down into Tampa and Orlando.
Boom.
And you can order it around the country at registermeats.com.
I have to tell my peeps down in Tampa, St. Pete, to do the right thing.
He needs to have a promo code in case they beat Duke tonight. Ooh, I don't know what that would be, but it needs to be something.
Can you believe it? Exclamation point. I don't normally say that about Florida State at home against anybody. This is a really good Duke team. Like, I, objectively speaking, if you just looked at this team, you'd go, boy, they're kind of fun to watch. They're awfully talented, and it's annoying because they do a lot of things well. But, hey, Florida State at the TLC-CC.
Hey, man, there have been worse FSU teams
that is correct.
To beat better Duke teams
probably
than this one. That one, especially the Jason Williams, back, Mike Dunleavy back in the day.
Unreasonable. That game.
That was a crazy win. That's the most unpredictable win in Florida State history, probably.
Yeah, I was in shock.
Because that was a bad Florida State team.
Very bad.
And it was an awesome Duke team.
As the game went on, I kept going, this isn't going to happen. I was sitting with my buddy Matt Britton. I was like, this isn't going to happen. And then it just kept happening.
Could the promo code be "Suck It, Coach K"?
Oh, I like that.
I don't know.
That's
a little disrespectful.
On the way out?
It's on a way out. On his way out, man. He's always been pretty kind to Leonard, right? He's always been pretty kind to Leonard. He always says nice things about Leonard.
The time when he acted like his life was in danger because the Noel.
Well, right. You got to get over grudges. But more often than not, he's been kind
post
to Leonard.
That moment, he has been better. Once it's like somewhere along the way, he accepted it. I don't know if it was one too many losses on the road here at the TLC-CC where he finally had to be like, well, damn it, this guy's got something going on here. Because he does respect the fact that playing here is difficult. He'll talk about it.
And he does respect Coach Hamilton, no question. But,
how about suck at Duke? We'll make it more general than
just
straight at Coach K, one of the fine gentlemen in all of sports.
How about some get you some? Because you can get you some register sausage.
I like
right.
it.
And get you
right.
there. You like that?
Yeah.
We'll get you some? Yeah, that's fine. If it happens tonight, it'll be very late.
Yeah.
We'll all be celebrating very, very late. The old 9 p.m. tip at the TLC-CC.
That's a bit of a dagger.
I do think
it hurts your feelings a little bit.
I do think the styles usually accommodate Florida State pretty well because of the style of play. Duke, they're gonna extend so far defensively.
Yep.
Florida State's usually got really good athletes who can attack off the dribble. You know, we've seen that time and time again. defensively, Duke's usually got some really good bigs, but Florida State fronts the post so well and denies those passes into the post. So that's always a good matchup for Florida State.
Correct.
And then also, you know, I think the way Florida State, the depth, Duke usually plays a lot of times 6-7 guys, and Florida State will play 10-11 guys. And I think we've been seeing that lately. FSU's depth has been taking its toll a little bit. I thought it was a factor against Miami. I thought it was a factor against Syracuse. And that sometimes becomes a factor against Duke as well. So there's some things that work in FSU's favor in this matchup.
I don't like to be cynical, but I would be very surprised if Florida State won this game. I just, if Malik isn't, if he plays at all, he's not going to be 100%. He might not play. You don't match up. Usually Florida State does match up athletically with them. I don't know that that's the case this time around.
Well, but I mean, the bigs, everybody's talking about the bigs. How many bigs for Duke have gone off against Florida State?
No, I think their best player is the swing kid, though. Sure.
But a lot of people are focused on the difference, what they have inside versus what Florida State has.
So Wendell Moore, Banchero are the two guys.
He's like a, he's kind of like a Plumlee. Like he doesn't have to score a lot, but he can rebound and he blocks shots.
Well, what Ira was just talking about with Duke setting up, a lot of times they'll spread the court just for that entry pass to Williams, who's so big. And you saw him do it against Miami. And you know they lost that game against Miami. I mean, that's a guy that if he gets his position, you're not stopping him. We don't have really anybody that's going to stop him.
But traditionally, Florida State makes it really difficult
to do that.
They do front the post, and then they harass. They've got length on the perimeter that makes those entry passes harder.
Ask Roy Williams about that. Remember how he bitched about it? That his young player was trying
to
get
that pass.
Like, we can't make the pass. What do you want us to do?
Really good for him now, Baycott.
Yeah.
He was like, swing it.
Yeah.
Like, we can't swing it.
They won't let us swing it.
They won't let us swing it to the other side of the court.
Too long. Yeah.
I'm not saying Florida State's going to win the game. I'm just saying that's why Florida State usually gives Duke a run for their money, no matter where the game is. And they've had really solid success against them at home.
Hey, so really quick, I had to do this for College Sportsbook. I got to talk to the great Adrian Crawford. It's you guys will get that later on today on YouTube. Go check it out. But I was looking at certain numbers from a sporting standpoint, but it also helps tell the story of the game. Banchero tonight, according to Prize Pick, 17.5. You going over or under that for Banchero?
I would probably say over.
Moore, 13.5. I went over. On Wendell Moore.
Yeah, I might 13. Go under on that.
Really?
Over.
Okay. And then Caleb Mills, I went over on the 12.5. If Florida State's going to win, he's got to score more than 12.
Yeah, I'd go over on that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He might rise to the moment.
Well, for the reasons that Ira gave, too. You're going to get some one-on-ones up top, and he's a scorer, and he can finish with either hand. Yeah, I believe that. I went under on Malik Osborne, 10.5, just because of the ankle. I don't even know if he's going to play. Let's hope he plays. Speaking of which, that's something we should address right off the bat. In a big game like this, you're going to need him, ideally, to be able to play and defend. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday Leonard Hamilton was very doubtful that Malik would play, but he did say that they were going to get more final word later in the day. I mean, he's been in that boot since last week, and they basically shut him down because he was trying to play through a lingering ankle injury, and it wasn't coming around, so they put him in a boot. He missed the last game. They were going to check him out later in the day. I mean, there's a chance he'll be able to play, but even if he can, your question is, you know, how effective he would be. But if he doesn't play,
Problem.
Yeah.
It's problematic.
I mean, we love the weatherman.
Yeah, and he was great in that game on Saturday, but Syracuse isn't quite the
the
athletic roster that Duke presents.
Weatherman was great, man. What a decision.
On defense, too, man. He really kind of locked it down on
defense. 8-9 minutes of the game out there.
He played the last 9 minutes.
At center.
On the road of an ACC game.
Yeah, and he played well.
Yeah, he did.
And he could move better laterally than our other bigs. He also got to that ACC logo, which kind of opened the door for things offensively and, you know, kind of carried the day. I'm curious, you know, what led to that decision? We always talk about players, but we should talk about coaching there. That's great coaching. Like, understanding that the other guys weren't up to that challenge, it wasn't a good matchup, or they're a little green, whatever you want to call it, and knowing that, hey, I'm going to go to my walk-on in a big road game in the ACC. Dude, who pulls that trigger? Leonard did, and that turned out, and kudos to him and his coaching staff, because it led to a win.
Well, it was a perfect situation for him, and I think, you know, Corey was touching on it briefly just there. Not only the fact that, I mean, your other bigs with Tenor and Gom out, and we don't know if he's going to be back anytime this season, but your other bigs, Quincy Ballard and
McLeod.
Naheem McLeod, they're very green. This is their first year. Well, Ballard's been in the system for over a year, but Naheem McLeod, this is his first year in the system. and they just don't know exactly. And what Florida State asks their bigs to do, especially defensively, is nothing they've ever done in their lives.
Yeah, you got to switch on everybody.
And yeah, you're guarding point guards, you're guarding shooters. It's just such a new experience. Whereas Harrison Prieto has been in the system for 6 years. He knows exactly what to do. And Syracuse isn't a team that necessarily could exploit it the way maybe a Duke could.
And it's not like against Syracuse you need a 6'11 kid to make sure Boeheim doesn't get a shot off. You just need somebody out there on him so he doesn't get the shot off. And Ballard, who's a much better athlete, just let Boeheim walk right into a three, didn't deny the pass, didn't get out on him. And immediately after Boeheim knocked down that three, I think to put him up by three, or maybe put him up in the game, that's when Prieto came in, and the rest is history. I wanted to talk about the charge call.
I just was going
to
bring that up.
I've never been – we know college refereeing.
It's a hard task. They're not good at it, but it's a difficult job because a lot of calls are 50-50.
But they aren't. I promise you block charges are 90-10 blocks. There are about 10% of charges that are actually called that are actually charges. So why is it always a 50-50 prop? In that particular call is so egregious, I want to know if he got suspended for it. It's an awful, awful call.
Don't you feel like we do this every other basketball game?
This one was unique.
This one was incredible because it was in the open court.
Right, right. Sometimes you could say, okay, maybe they didn't have a good view of it, or
it's a help
whatever.
Defender yeah, in yeah. half court stepping
this
up.
This was unbelievable. I mean, the rule is verticality, and his was horizontally.
Correct.
I mean,
yeah.
he's running
off
with
the ground
him,
when he got
and
hit.
He's in the air. It's just insane. I mean, if you wanted to call it a no call because it's at home, I'd be like, all right, well, that's ridiculous, but okay, it's a no call. But to call a charge and wipe off the basket.
Yeah, it was a 5-point swing or a 3-point swing because that was going to, well, you probably missed the free throw, but that was 2 points you took off the board.
Right, you're up five. You could be up 7 or 8.
No, I think you're up 7. That puts you up 9 or 10. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievably a bad call.
And then my guy Boeheim's.
And how does Hamilton not get a T right? I would have. Well, remember when Boeheim, his first game at Cameron, where he stormed on the court and ripped off his shirt and all that? I feel like I would have come really close if I was Leonard to doing that.
If he had
that.
A better team, maybe he would.
They're fragile, and you got a chance to win a game. Yeah. You can't come unglued there. I mean, kudos to Leonard. I'm with you. A lot of times I see stuff in these games where I go, I don't know how he makes it. I mean, it's been a long time. You got to go back to Leonard ripping off his coat against Duke all those years ago. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen him snap.
That's the one, though. That would have been the deserved snap. I mean, that was an all-time
It would have warranted
call.
It. Yes. But the fact that he didn't do it was a good idea.
And again, if he had a more experienced team or a better team, maybe he would.
If he had Tony Douglas over there, he'd been like, all right, we can handle that.
I think that was impressive to me about this win was the fact that they withstood that. Because right after that play, Syracuse takes the lead. And I'm thinking, okay, man, they're going to lose this game because of that ridiculous call. And then sure enough, man, they fought back. I mean, they've shown something these last few games.
I love the Cleveland dunk on the next time he got on the court. There was some anger in that dunk, rightfully so.
Yeah. Three straight wins for a team that really looked like this could be a sub-500, maybe well below 500 group in the ACC this year doesn't mean that they're going to coast to the NCAA tournament, which, by the way, somebody's going to ask us. I already looked ahead at the questions about their ceiling. I'll just say this. This was a group that a couple weeks ago, we thought, can you make the tournament? It's a legitimate question whether or not this team can make the tournament.
Well, it still is.
Of course. But what I will say is if you do the look ahead, because you won those three games, you gave yourself the wiggle room that if you lose as an underdog, as you will be in these next two ACC games, this one and Miami, okay, no big deal. You'll be 500 in the ACC because you went ahead and took care of business.
I would say, though, that you don't get many chances, weirdly, this year in the ACC for a marquee win. There just aren't. I think Duke might be the only team ranked. I don't know that there's...
Carolina's good, and they'll be good.
They might be ranked eventually.
They play Miami.
But that's at Carolina. You've got Duke at home, at Miami, at Carolina, at Duke. You've got about 3 or 4 chances to have a really impressive resume win. Other than that, it ain't a lot. Like, Wake Forest at home doesn't move the needle. Virginia Tech at home doesn't get you in the tournament.
Yeah,
even stacking up wins. Yeah, Virginia's not a normal Virginia. This is one of your few opportunities, because you didn't do well in the non-conference. This is one of your few opportunities to get a marquee win, because if you finish, I don't know, 3-4 games over 500 in the ACC, that's not a guarantee like normal that you get into the tournament.
Right. Ordinarily it would be. Yeah. All I'm saying is that because you did beat Louisville, Miami, and Syracuse back-to-back-to-back.
You're in the running, yeah.
Well, and you're fourth right now in the conference, one game back in the loss column from first place. So, A, that's good from where they were. B, let's say you lose to Duke tonight. We're not assuming that, but you are underdogs. So then you got North Florida, got to win that game, obviously. But then it's Miami on the road. I'm going to suspect Miami will win that game. Not guaranteed.
How dare you.
But then, listen, it's Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Clemson, and Wake Forest, and Pitt. You could easily, I won't say they will, but you could easily win every one of those
games. Yeah, you go 4-1.
You are giving yourself a real opportunity here. It does get a lot easier after this little stretch between Duke and then and then Miami.
You're going to have at some point to beat one of the big boys, I think, to get in. I don't know that those five games do enough for you. Maybe they do.
Your point, though, there's not a lot of big boys to beat.
Yeah, I know. So you got to take advantage of the couple that you have. I don't know if three straight wins over Wake Forest, Georgia Tech, and Pitt are anywhere close to one win over Duke.
I guess it's going to come down to how many teams from the league get in.
I was going
to
say, how many teams will the league get in?
It's a one-bid league right now, guys.
But
it's a one-bid league. It's
like the MAC. You know better than that. But if Florida State were to, in conference, at that point be 7-4 in the ACC, it's hard. Maybe I'm just having a more difficult time wrapping my mind around the idea that a team, let's say they rattle off those three wins in a row after these two against Duke and Miami, and I think they will if they're healthy. If you're 7-4 in the ACC coming down the home stretch, and I grant you, you got to go on the road at Duke. You're not going to win that game. You got to be at the Dean Center against North Carolina. You're probably not going to win that game. But you could.
He calls it the Dean Center. I like that.
Yeah.
Some call it the Dean Dome.
I don't. I call it the Dean Center.
Well, you show respect.
It's actually the official name.
Yeah. The Dean E. Smith Center.
That's correct. That's right. It's the Dean Center. Right. I don't have to kowtow to the way they do things at UNC, man. Hillbillies. So Boston College, Virginia. Virginia is there. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So for years and years and years, especially during Coach Hamilton's first 10, 12 years, Leonard's first 10, 12 years, we would lament when they were on the bubble and they didn't get the benefit of the doubt. And the Syracuse was get the benefit of the doubt.
But they would get the benefit of the doubt now.
That's what I'm asking. Is Florida State in a position where they get the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah. Three straight Sweet 16s. If you haven't earned it by then, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of those blowouts are a little rough to look at in hindsight, but I don't know that margin of loss comes into effect much.
And do they consider the fact that you had a really young team and it's gotten better and better and better?
Let's hope they do. I like going to March Madness. I think it's fun. I hope they have it all in one city again this year. That really was awesome. That was really neat.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hey, headliners and elite headliners. It's Ira here, and it's time to talk Shopify. As you remember, a couple of years ago, we wanted to create and sell Headlines merch for the best podcast listeners in the world. That's you. But we had no idea where to get started. Now we're selling Yay Sausage shirts, and it's so easy. All because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're a startup working out of your man cave or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to grow your business without all the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. You could be selling Don Julio socks from Shopify's in-person point-of-sale system or offering headliner shirts from Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform. Whatever you need, you're covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love most about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up today for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase, and they'll help you grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Go to shopify.com/warchant.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
We're back.
Yeah, good talk.
I was going to give you an answer to that. So, by the way, somebody asked this, and it's pertinent because we've been talking about this in the past recently, in particular because of Marvin Jones. Seminole Moments asks on the chat, why are Warrick, Dunn, Winky, and Seabass not in the Hall of Fame, but CJ freaking Spiller is?
Good question.
So yeah, my question is to follow up on that, and it's a real good question. There doesn't seem to be a rhyme.
There's
or reason.
Rhyme or
to,
nor reason.
Nor reason.
Rhyme nor reason. No rhyme nor reason.
Like guys could wait 30 years who were 2-time All Americans and the best player in the country.
Yeah, it would make more sense if you were going year by year, like they do in every other sport. Because Marvin Jones is just now getting in, you think his class would include like Ty Detmer and David Klingler and guys,
the other guys from the era.
Yeah, but yeah, it's. For C.J. Spiller to be in, who played in like 08, right?
I was going to say, didn't he play last year?
Yeah, he
it
played.
Feels like C.J. Spiller
he was 12 years after Warrick Dunn is bizarre. And you can't say that C.J. Spiller was obviously a better player, had a better career. So who knows? They'll all get in eventually, you would have to think. But I don't know if like you only want to take one player from a school every couple of years to spread it out to other universities. I don't know.
Would a rhyme help? If you called the College Football Hall guy, and said, or woman.
And I have
said,
a rhyme.
You have a
no,
rhyme?
No. If you called and said, what's going on? Why is Warrick Dunn not in the Hall of Fame? And she or he gave you a rhyme.
Like a poem.
But not a reason. But
not a reason, just a rhyme.
Would a rhyme help?
What a dumb saying.
So if she suddenly went hickory dickory dock, you'd be like, oh, here it comes.
Here it comes. There is a rhyme.
There is a rhyme, not really a reason.
Right.
The Austin put together, who works for us, put together a nice story and list and a poll of which Florida State players are most deserving to be in the Hall of Fame next. After Marvin Jones, and the voters went with Warrick Dunn. I think Mickey Andrews got a lot of votes.
Yeah, I'd say Mickey would have been high on the
you guys
list.
Would support as
Peter
well.
Warrick, Janikowski,
Lee Corso got some.
Yeah, Lee Corso. I saw that initially. I'm like, I don't know about Lee Corso,
but it's a lifetime achievement.
But it's also he has like Vitale's in the Basketball Hall of Fame, right? Or should
he
be?
Is a contributor.
I hope he is. Yeah, and so Corso could get in as a contributor even more than what he did as a player, because he has been on that show for 30 years. But yeah, I would say both Warricks. And Winky. Winky won the flipping Heisman.
And the national championship. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like that deserves some recognition. So they'll all get in eventually. Yeah. You would think by the end of it, there'll be, what, 15
the thing
dynasty
is,
guys?
I mean, college football.
Wadsworth, Boulware.
I mean, there's so many teams and so many great players.
Yeah.
Like, man, just put 30 in every year.
Thank you. Like, you don't have to be really, really selective like you are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Good. I get it in the Pro Football
Hall
of Fame.
Like, who's going
to
argue?
Really look,
like, Katzenmoyer? Really?
Really?
How are you throwing him into the Hall of Fame? Of course, just get him in.
Diehard college football fans, you wouldn't need quote-unquote experts. You'd need somebody to be able to prove their worth as a college football fan. But I'm telling you, as the three of us, and we could grab 10 people whom we know that love the sport and have been watching since they were young, and you could sit them down and say, all right, we're going to give you a pool of players of guys that played post-1984 on.
Yeah,
we would be able, I think, as well as anybody to go, he is, he isn't, he definitely is, he isn't. You could just do it all in one day. You could have 197 guys from 84 to 94, and then we could go on to the next.
Yeah.
And be like, he's in, he's in, he's definitely not. How is he not in? You would be shocked how many of those guys from that era, 84, say, to 2000, that are not in.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Miami has the same issue.
Yeah,
like they got plenty of dudes that aren't in yet, and they had, as you guys might remember, they had some good players during that stretch
few,
as well.
Couple. You know, less than they think.
Hey, how about Rock Peyton and Eli thing last night, talking about sacking Charlie Ward?
Yeah, I didn't watch.
He brings that up all the time.
They brought it up to him, but he might have told them ahead of time, hey, bring up the fact that I sacked Charlie Ward.
He brings it up when he used to bring it up when he wrestled and he came here.
Exactly.
He'd bring it up at the arena, which is funny. He's also in the video of which we showed earlier this year. It was
Pick 6 with Devin Bush.
These NFL playoffs have been great, man. We've just been soaking them up.
First round's a toughie. Although I did thoroughly enjoy the Raiders game against Cincinnati, and I enjoyed because I went undefeated over the weekend, guys, on a money line parlay for every game.
Mm. Wow.
It'd been a lot to me to watch those results.
Felt really good.
Those were easy.
Yeah, weren't
to
a lot
pick.
Of surprises.
Not I was going to say you picked every favorite.
I took San Francisco to win on the road. Okay,
so that was the one.
But
so that got a little dicey there at the end. I love that.
I almost
wrote a column. I can't get over the ineptitude of football coaches in late game situations.
Sure.
It makes no sense.
No.
If you've got the ball at the 40-yard line with 14 seconds left, is your better chance to score throwing it twice into the end zone?
Or maybe even three times, depending.
Sure. Or doing a scramble to get to the 25 to then
spike,
ostensibly throw a Hail Mary into the end zone.
Yeah, right.
It's not like you get to the 25 and all of a sudden the whole playbook opens up. You're running five verticals no matter what. And in fact, I almost called him a bad name, and I don't even care. I don't care about the Cowboys. McCarthy afterwards is like, hey, we're running five verticals anyway. What difference is it? And it's like, yeah, exactly. So why don't you run five verticals? But he was defending the play call. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it makes perfect sense. We're running five verticals. You'd rather be at the 25. Like, no, no, not really. Not really. You're just throwing it up there.
Well, I mean, you would ask rather. Jacksonville Technically, State. You would rather. But what, I understand, what are the chances? Of course, your reasoning is right in that you wouldn't run 14 yards.
More of a real play at 25 yards than it would be.
But moreover, your quarterback didn't understand the rules.
He just slid way too late. And then they didn't get lined up quickly.
It's a pretty good shot by that referee, too. I need my quarterback to be able to. That was like Ponder getting hit by Ty Jones. Like, don't get knocked off the ball that much.
I need my quarterback to understand you're not allowed to just hand the ball to your center and have him spotted. It doesn't work that way, dumbass.
It was, but also when you watch the replay, a couple of Cowboys were just kind of not running up. It's like they hadn't even practiced that. Just tell your guys to run in the end zone, throw it up there twice. You might get a pass interference.
Well, how about if you're not, 14 penalties and you were second in the league all year long in penalties? I mean, that's what they did.
And you weren't ready to play.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're down 10 to nothing before you knew it.
Yeah.
You're down
not that we feel sorry for the Cowboys.
But their defense was ridiculous in the first couple drives. I mean, it was ridiculous.
They weren't ready to
play. They weren't even out there.
Well, that goes back to McCarthy.
And the other big story from a Florida State perspective is, number one, it is incredible that Cam Akers looks like that. After the injury he suffered.
How is it even possible?
And it is awful bad luck. Cam Akers isn't a big S-talker, I don't think. For him to do the celebration as the guy is knocked out is just bad luck. He clearly didn't know, and he said as much as after the game, as we all did, that he hadn't knocked that guy out.
That Buda Baker
because
was knocked
when,
out.
When does a DB get ever knocked out in a situation like that? And Buda Baker's awesome.
He's a good player.
So it's just really, it was really bad luck, a bad look for a guy that didn't know that he had knocked a guy literally out. He was unconscious. His arms had lifted up.
It's uncomfortable to watch, isn't it? Every
it time really
you see
is.
It,
that's
part of the game.
Man. It was a heck of a hit, though, man. Good night.
But those things are, that's how it always is. Because if somebody, DB gets a hit and he stands over a guy, that's what they do. But when it turns out the guy's really hurt, it looks
like,
awful.
Oops.
But think about the mindset, and I saw it on Twitter. I know it's reactionary on Twitter, but the mindset of people to immediately jump to Cam Akers celebrating
a guy
being perhaps paralyzed or at worst knocked out and leaving. It's like, come on, man.
It's one of the things you don't do, which is to say you don't check Twitter.
Well, you're not. Well,
during a game.
I thought you were going to say, don't celebrate.
Just don't check Twitter.
Right, right.
It's okay.
I mean, it'd make him a sociopath. To be like, you're too small. Enjoy that ambulance ride. He would. I mean, of course he wouldn't do that. That's nuts. But people think that.
Although it'd be a hell of a thing to say.
Yeah.
If anybody doubts, I mean, I've heard that they actually know each other and like each other. And it was
yeah,
not
football,
at all,
man.
That.
It's just football. Unlucky. I'm lowering my shoulder. Your helmet, my helmet collide. And
I mean, didn't Parrish get sent? Roscoe Parrish had to go to the hospital after that game, right?
Yeah.
And Stanford Samuels got up and celebrated that.
No,
he laid there. He got.
He took a brunt of it too.
Yeah,
that was tough. That's actually not a good hit. I mean, it's a great hit to watch over and over again, but that's kind of the helmet to the. They both were hurt there. That said, I can tell you that none of these guys, very rarely, unless you're Bill Romanowski or some dumbass like that. It is very rare that any player goes in to hit another player with the idea, I'm going to hurt this guy. You don't have enough time.
Yeah, in a running back especially.
You just don't have enough time. It's so fast, and you're just trying to win leverage. You got to get a guy to the ground. You're not thinking, like, if I can hit him in this way, then maybe he'll be hurt. Wouldn't that be? Nobody does that. Doesn't happen. Some of the headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering, for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices. We suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us. You might see us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I mean, I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a – I probably shouldn't have said that.
Hot beer and cold women at some bars.
Whatever you're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's
sure,
all right. But even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
good food.
The most
important part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got that vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats
really
that?
Good.
He does. At Horizons Bar
and
Grill.
I didn't know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizon's got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing, at the right off of Thomasville Road in Bannerman. up there on the Northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo! Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Some Florida State football news for you. Let's start with a transfer. Trey Benson, running back out of Oregon. He committed to Oregon back in 2019, signed with them then, enrolled in 2020, is now here in Tallahassee. Trey Benson is a running back who's 6'1", 203, 204, depending on where you look.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I think he, yeah, that's about right. But yeah, he's a guy who was, you know, well thought of coming out of high school. I know, I'm pretty sure Mike Norvell was recruiting him coming out of high school, and FSU's coaches really liked him. He went to Oregon, blew out his knee. He had a really bad, I think ACL, MCL, and maybe some other damage. Nothing like permanent, no nerve damage or anything like that.
That explains the 2-year window there.
But just,
though, yeah.
Yeah, but then he came back last year and only carried the ball 6 or 7 times. Didn't get a lot of at-bats. They had a good running back situation last year, so he didn't get a lot of action. I think Florida State clearly made him a priority when he went in the transfer portal, and so now you add another back to go basically to replace Jay Sean Corbin. I don't know if they believe he could be a Jay Sean Corbin running back or if he's just another guy in that room, but he's
so is that number 10? Like number 10 on the number 10 on the
overall
portal.
Yeah, in the running back room.
No, he's not a tight end.
10 on the portal. All right, here we go. In addition to that, if you go over to warchant.com, you can check out the story as posted by Aslan, Oregon wide receiver Micah Pittman, Albany defensive lineman Jared Verse, and of course West Virginia wide receiver Winston Wright Jr. all spoke to the media today. Impressions?
Yeah, I was just telling you guys off there, like, it's interesting to note the difference between Pittman and Wright. Maybe you could tell that just Pittman comes from an NFL family. I don't want to say self-aggrandizing. He knows how to talk the game.
He said he's got a big personality.
Yeah, he's got a very big personality. You can tell he probably enjoys doing media.
He and his girlfriend had a YouTube channel.
Oh, well, there you go. So he enjoys the attention. Meanwhile, my man from South Georgia that went up to the coal mining state just goes out there and plays football and doesn't really have time for much of the talking, which is great, man. Go out there and make plays. It's fine.
Yeah, Winston Wright was not quite as talkative. He was nice enough.
Yeah, sure.
You know, he would answer a question in like 7 or 8 words and be ready for the next question.
Ready to move on.
Micah Pittman's giving you a really detailed answer. You know, it seems a little bit, you know, he went to high school in California, kind of comes off kind of like Cam McDonald, one of those guys that, you know, kind of likes the attention and all right. That kind of thing. And then Jared Verse is the defensive end who
we're all excited about.
Yes, yes. I mean, his numbers last year are kind of crazy.
Yeah.
In one season, he had 53 tackles for a defensive end, 53 tackles, 10 and a half sacks.
Yeah, like 21 tackles for loss or something nuts.
I think over the 2 years. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a.
And you and I talked about when it happened a week ago, Ira, we were talking about the maturity in his comments.
Right.
I mean, they really, you get excited about the way he views the work that he has to put in, his role as a player, what he wants to do for the team, that kind of stuff. And it was a little bit more nuanced than just your standard, yeah, I want to do whatever they ask me to do. It was awesome. He talked about growing as a man and everything else and why he chose. It gave insight into, again, why this group has done a really good job. Not only is it a necessity that they do a good job in the transfer portal as they fill holes on the roster, but also how they connect with these guys and how they're first to reach out to them and why those guys are interested because they've had a lot of successes.
Yeah.
The one today, though, is the Benson kid is an interesting one. Like, all these other – the first 9, it feels like, had all proven themselves at a high major level, except for
Johnny Wilson.
Johnny Wilson at least played in a bunch of games and had 18 catches, and Bless Harris played at Lamar. Yeah, Deuce hadn't either. But that was at a position where you have 3 other guys. Running back is a position of need. Like, you got to have some depth there. We don't know if – I mean, I guess DJ Williams is sticking around. Who knows? But you have Trayshawn Ward and then Toa Feely, and that's it really from a proven standpoint. And this guy had 6 carries this past year. So it's interesting, like, you know, I'm sure they could have – there's dozens of running backs around the country that would have come to Florida State. What they saw in this kid, even coming off a major knee injury, that made them believe that he was ready to contribute come the Superdome.
Yeah, I think to me, the two things that I think you'd have to hang your hat on, to help explain it, since we haven't talked to Mike Norvell about it yet, he won't be able to talk about him until he's officially enrolled. But, you know, one thing is the fact that they did recruit him. They were aware of him coming out of high school.
Yeah.
So they knew the kid he was 2 years ago.
Knew the skill set. Yeah.
Plus the fact that, you know, Mike Norvell is close with Dan Lanning, who was their defensive coordinator, who saw him every day for the last 2 years. So my guess is they've gotten information back that, and he's fine. He's the guy you thought he was. He's going to be really good. He just didn't have any opportunities. I mean, I think that's what you have to assume is happening. Because,
well,
like
Dan
you said,
Lanning was at Georgia. He wasn't at Oregon.
Oh, excuse me. You're right. Right, right. No, you're right. That's a good point. It's actually a great point.
Well, you had a bad point. I just called you on it.
But
he had a good point right before it.
Right.
Right. Was that but they recruited him.
But he did get there, and he got there before Benson went in the portal, and Kenny Dillingham is there. So they've both been there. They can ask around, hey, is this kid healthy?
Also, that was my Pittman.
Yeah, for
Pittman
sure.
Pittman was the teammate with them too. So a lot of the Oregon-Tallahassee pipeline is going back and forth,
but,
too.
But that's my point. It's not like they're going blind into it.
Yeah.
And that would explain why you're not going after some of these other guys who maybe have 150 carries somewhere else.
Right.
I think they really like this guy. Now, whether or not he can be a feature back, I don't know.
Well, and he comes in, you probably weren't going to get a five-star guy that ran for 1,000 yards. Right. I mean, that wasn't on the table. But you have a guy that at worst is adding depth, right, and is a bigger body.
Speaking of adding depth, is there any word? Do we have any insight as to whether or not they will add depth at quarterback?
I think they will. I just don't think it's a rush.
Yeah.
But I think they will. And then once you couldn't get somebody for the spring semester, you know, I don't know. And you know, maybe they could still sneak somebody in for the spring semester, but spring semester's already been going on. So my guess is it's not that important. Maybe you can get a guy who loses a spring battle, you know, after the spring.
That's what I was thinking, is now it's probably the timetable is after spring practices, right, when a guy sees the writing on the wall.
The last thing I wanted to say, though, before I start talking about Dan Lanning at Oregon,
right,
was that
what a great team he put together
this
year out there.
Nice work out there, Dan. Was that talking about Verse, and you can watch all those interviews at warchant.com. We've got them all up on the YouTube channel. But Verse, also that maturity came across today as well. I thought one of the coolest things he said, and he's hinted at it before, was, you know, just talking about that conversation he had with Jermaine Johnson and how Jermaine Johnson told him not just the good things about Florida State, but also some of the bad things he didn't like about Florida State. And he was impressed that they would let somebody like that talk to him openly, yeah, and that the kid would talk to him openly. And that kind of was a factor as well.
And then hopefully.
Do you think morning practices was one of the bad things?
Would be number one on your list. I got to wonder, too. I mean, Jermaine was a picture perfect transfer portal, as it turned out.
Right.
I mean, he turned out to be the best player defensively in the ACC. Above and beyond almost anything else, he did everything right. Work ethic, preparation, everything he said. He recruited after he left, you know, these guys. You would think that Mike Norvell and staff would sit down and also listen to that concern, whatever it was that
he
didn't
like.
Yeah,
good point,
right?
Like what he didn't like.
Because he's not a guy that's a malcontent who really never bought in. He's a guy that did everything right.
And he's been on the whole spectrum. He's been at JUCO, at that crazy place,
Georgia,
the last chance U, and then he was at Georgia. And then Florida State, yeah.
So
he's
if he's
going to
champion Florida State despite having some criticisms and no perfect places, I think you would sit down and be like, okay, well, let's talk about that. What is that? And you're always doing self-scouting. That's another avenue by which you could learn about how things get better.
And another thing that people would be interested in, go watch the videos, but Pittman and Wright both talked about returning kicks.
Yeah,
which punts and kicks. Pittman said he's never dropped a punt. Said he's never dropped
the
punt.
Don't do that.
Hey, I like that he put it out there.
Well, that's great.
I thought same thing.
Don't do it.
I like that he put it out there. Like, I've never dropped a punt. It sounded like he was saying going back to his, like, Pop Warner days. But he has been returning punts.
He should have been like, yeah, man, I saw that Florida game. What the hell was
– Yeah, what's that guy's name? What's Andy's name? Was he still on the team?
Remember, and we talked about it, the Florida guy was distracted and angry that he couldn't return a punt, and he caught it like this. Yeah. He's like talking to somebody as he catches it in the air.
It's like ordering lunch.
Yeah. And he throws it to the officials. Like, that's really insulting, man.
Yeah.
You really got to do that? I mean, my man's frustrated. They didn't block it up in front of him. He's like yelling at somebody. The ball's coming right at him. He's like, no.
Yeah, all right,
Listen, guys, let's do this next time. Yeah.
Did you just see what our guy did?
Yeah, our guy's just over here. Yeah, no chance in hell.
So that was good. You know, Pittman will be they'll both be in the battle to return kicks. But it's good to know you have some guys with some history doing it and want to do it.
Yeah, and Wright has returned a couple of touchdowns, kicks. And Pittman's more of a punt return guy. But, you know, and he also was quick to say that, you know, I know I'm going to have to compete for the job. And it's like, no, man.
It's not going to be. Hopefully it won't be. I can't imagine it's going to be much of a competition. But and then going back to the Jermaine Johnson, it's like, again, that guy just keeps producing good things for Florida State.
It's silly how on high he will be held. And it's
for 1 year.
For one season.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Especially if Burse turns into something that we think he can be. And Jermaine Johnson, who Burse talked about today, was pivotal in him deciding to come to Florida State. And also, shout out for Papuchis. Took a lot of grief, rightly so.
Understandably,
with the special teams. But he's also the defensive ends coach. And when I think it was you, Ira, that asked him, who knows, but about why he chose Florida State, or one of the reasons he chose Florida State, he said Coach Norvell and Coach Papuchis. Or he said Coach JP. But I call him Papuchis.
Yeah.
They're not.
Everybody else says Coach JP.
JP, but not me. I go
Corey
formal.
Walks into the interview room. What's up, Papuchis?
Papuchis in the house.
Everybody gets a little uncomfortable, but it's just understood.
So that was good. That's got to be good for Coach JP to see that his name gets mentioned as a reason that somebody came, because it was not mentioned in the best of light through a lot of the fall.
Shout out to you, Coach JP. Seminole Headlines continues in a moment. I'm getting us to the questions, guys. We're almost there. Hang in there. Seminole Headlines on 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Brian, yes, I'm sure they're doing their due diligence. He's asking the coaching staff to be sure that they're careful with guys who've had prior injuries. Yeah. It's been a couple of years, though. That's the other thing. It was 2019.
Right. Yeah, from our understanding, it wasn't a injury like a McKenzie Milton thing where there's other damage beyond the normal ACL, MCL stuff.
It's concerning that he only had 6 carries, though, clearly. But I was going to ask, wasn't he here on a visit here recently?
Yeah, he was here yesterday.
Do they have him do, and I'm not being facetious, do they have him do jumping jacks and like sprints
like the
and
combine
and stops? Yeah.
I believe.
Get up there on that knee. Let's see what we got going.
I know when McKenzie signed, I know that they had already looked over his medical stuff. So my guess is that they get a report or something from trainer at the other school, or maybe they actually get the x-rays. I don't know the process. I don't know that you can bring him in and make him go through a workout. I don't know.
We don't have to make him. You're showing him the field. Hey, look, this is Bobby Bowden Field.
See how fast you can run down it.
How fast can you get to that midfield stripe?
Let's go. I'm going to stand right around the 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm going
to
stand
right. Let's see where you go to the goal line.
I'm
going to
say go. Yeah. Don't look at my hand. I might have some of my hand, but I want to see how you look, man.
I will say this. It is remarkable. You brought up Cam Akers earlier. I want to bring this point up. It doesn't appear, short of a limb being amputated, there is such a thing as a season-ending injury anymore. It is the progress made in medical science, the ability, if you work hard and you have the kind of toughness and work ethic that Cam Akers does, and you're a gym rat.
That was an Achilles, right?
It was an Achilles.
That doesn't,
Five and a half months from an Achilles, it doesn't make any sense. You ought not be able to.
Kobe was out for like a year and a half.
Well, most people with an Achilles, it's a very serious deal.
But the point is, Kobe was, I feel like he's a pretty hard worker.
Yeah.
And that wasn't that long. It was like 12 years ago that happened, right? Or
well,
maybe 10 years ago. And they've made so much strides in the last 10 years that.
It's silly. I've had so many friends with ACLs. One of them was William Floyd. His career was ruined to an ACL in the NFL. I mean, he was well on his way to being a multi-time Pro Bowler. And I remember when it happened. And back then, if you talk to a guy, and I did talk to him, they would tell you it was going to be a year, maybe two. But then you had the mental scarring. You had all this stuff. Guys, a lot of times, never return. I mean, we think back in ancient history, Gale Sayers, 7 years, and that was the end of his career with an ACL. But like nowadays, guys get ACLs and can return same season. I'd never thought we'd see somebody with an
Florida
Achilles.
State pulled the offer from, who's that, Lance Harbor? The quarterback from Varsity Blues, he tore his ACL, Florida State pulled the offer.
He's
a quarterback. He'll be fine.
ACLs, I mean, no longer really prohibited for anybody. So I guess my point is, if you work really hard and you're in great shape and you want to get back and you're desperate to get back, they'll be able to get you back pretty quickly. So most of the time, unless it's a catastrophic injury like McKenzie Milton had, to your point, you trust a couple years removed from it, you'll be all right.
Yeah, and like I said, they apparently really liked him 2 years ago. So it wouldn't be any different than if he, if this past year was his first year and he redshirted, because the first year he was just totally out.
Right.
So, they liked him coming out of high school. They like him now.
Any other players this week? Anybody else visiting?
Well, we're actually getting 3 more players we're going to talk to tomorrow. We're going to talk to a couple, I think the offensive linemen who transferred in, we'll be interviewing them on Thursday.
The Lyles kid from Wisconsin?
Tomorrow. It'll be Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that kid, from what I'm told, and then if you go back and look when he did play and he has plenty of game film, I mean, we think he's going to be a starter somewhere.
Right, for sure.
I think he's a starter somewhere on that. Center or guard, right.
That's going to be – this spring's going to be interesting position battles on the offensive line, because they have just about everybody back. But then you bring in a couple of transfers.
Bless Harris will fight for position. I think he's probably a backup.
You're going to have 8 or 9 guys. And this goes for wide receiver too, but you're going to have 8 or 9 guys that have played and started that are competing for 5 spots. And you know what that does? It's going to make them all sharper.
Because iron sharpens iron.
I mean, I'm glad that's starting to take off finally, but I've
get a shirt made yet?
No, I haven't, and
what
I should.
Doing? You can be monetizing the hell out of this.
The Maryland is going to be a problem shirt. I need, for the next headlines get together, I'll have Iron Sharpens Iron. Corey Clark, circa, what was that, like 2015, 2016? When did I coin that?
Iron Sharpens Iron? It wasn't long after the famed Maryland's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I think it was a couple
about
years
a year
after
later,
that.
You redeemed yourself.
Yeah, yeah. But what a,
I wish I could be in the room with the people who are sitting there right now thinking, Corey Clark really thinks he came up with Iron Sharpens.
What's crazy about that is like, if you watch this show for any length of time, I feel like my sarcasm drips off
most
out
people
of my
mind. But people who don't get sarcasm don't get sarcasm. You understand that, right? It never comes around.
But you,
they're never going to get it.
Ever, right?
No, ever. I have same guys email me all the time about my sarcasm because they think everything I say is literal.
Yeah.
So there's no, it's just, they're dumb people are dumb, man. It's just not going to come around.
So, hey, sorry, dumb people, but I did say it in 2015, and there's no recorded
document
of anybody saying it before that.
Nobody,
or writing it down.
Never
other
even
than
written.
Maybe the Bible.
But, other, but again, you know, it's not in direct quotes. You actually said it. That's not a,
that's it was an original thought.
Right, yeah. Of course it was.
Yeah, you just plucked it out of thin air.
It just made sense
when you think about things that make each other better, what would that be like? Iron does sharpen iron.
Iron sharpens iron. It makes
Has
the iron stronger.
Has anybody ever posited that before?
You just take two iron
skillets.
Right. Just rubbing against
each
other.
Just rub the skillets together. And just flames going out, and both skillets get stronger.
Oddly, this reminds me of the fact that I actually would love to be able to be a melder of sorts.
Or blacksmith?
Blacksmith. Kind of, yeah, I'd like to do that.
Like Flashdance?
No.
Wasn't she a welder?
She was, but I called her a melder, didn't I?
Yeah,
it's melder. A welder. It's not a melder at all. I'd like to meld things together. It's a welder. Yeah, I'd like to be a welder.
That'd be cool, man.
I used to think welding would be really cool. I still do.
You like shirtless with just the mask down?
Maybe
and
about
the
10 years
glistening
ago, we could do that.
And flame going.
You're going into another area here.
Well, saying.
Apparently, you've pictured me welding before. I'm
melding. Pictured you melding a lot.
It's all about sharpening your iron.
Hey, Ira.
What?
It's a family show.
What? I'm just saying. You were talking
about family show, dude.
We Off the rails. Early music for you, Matthew. Early music, and then I'll get to headliner questions.
Where he's cooling off.
From you guys.
The
mere mentioning of a welding moment. He's like, really? Please, make it happen. I never knew it was true. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio. 4chan TV continues in a moment.